The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm Benjamin Shapiro, the executive producer of the MarTech Podcast, and today we've got a special episode for you, which is going to be guest-hosted by Doug Bell, who's the CMO of Chief Outsiders. Doug is a veteran CMO with a background in helping growth-stage B2B SaaS companies reach their true potential, and I'm thrilled to invite him and some of his friends to take the microphone and share their knowledge with you, our loyal MarTech Podcast listeners. Okay, here's a special episode of the MarTech Podcast, guest hosted by Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders.
Hello, marketers. My name is Doug Bell from Chief Outsiders, and today we're going to be talking about the future of marketing and chatbots. Joining me is Nick Martin, who is the co-founder of Direct, which is the first AI chatbot platform exclusively tailored for publishers. And today, Nick and I are going to be talking about the upside and downsides to building your own chatbots. Okay, here's my conversation with Nick Martin, the co-founder of Direct. Nick, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. I have to say, such an interesting conversation to have, in particular because I feel like there's just been so much lag between the promise of large language models and what the chatbot vendors are doing out there. So let me start us off with, why on God's green earth would somebody go about building their own chatbot? Why would somebody embrace the level of difficulty necessary of building and maintaining a chatbot?
Yeah, I think there's always some percentage of the audience or a set of customers that are just interested in where technology is going, where the consumer is going, and trying to skate to where the proverbial puck is headed and being early and first. That's a really small part of the actual potential customer set for us, for any business in the chatbot space. And I don't think that's why most people do it. And I don't think that's why most people should do it. I think most people come at chat, hopefully, looking at it through the exact same lens they look at any other product or initiative in the business, which is, how can this new capability deliver the same outcomes I already had? How does it help me acquire customers, deepen engagement with them, sell more products, whatever it might be? And so in our world, there's some tactical outcomes that publishers care most about. But for any business, typically, we don't see it as a chatbot for the sake of a chatbot. We see it as, how does a chatbot allow me to do things I couldn't do without it that advance the outcomes I already had, which, again, are typically around user acquisition, lifetime value, customer quality and service, NPS if you're in a B2B environment. So that's how we try to think about it, is how do we use this as a vehicle for what our customers are already trying to accomplish, not chat for chat's sake.
How do you feel about what's available out there to folks now when it comes to the chatbots? Do you feel like the vendors are sort of picking up on what's happening around them when it comes to AI and LLM?
Yes and no. Like, it's a big enough and hot enough thing that if you look closely, I think you'll find examples on sort of either side. There tends to be two big camps. There's chatbot platforms that are not necessarily adverse to language models and generative AI, but maybe have been slower to integrate them or don't take full advantage of the capabilities. And then I think there's a lot of new age startups in particular, which are going kind of full bore and everything is generative AI and there's no controls, there's no guardrails. We think of what we do as trying to be in between, where we take advantage of language models to the best capacity that we can, where it makes sense for the end user and for the customer, but we're not using a language model for language model's sake. And so what we're tending to get feedback from with customers is that's what they prefer. They want to use a language model where it makes sense. They don't want to use it for the sake of using it. So I think if we zoom out or fast forward over 12 to 24 months, what will become kind of industry standard is the ability to take advantage of language models, but not be forced to have to. You know, some people think of this as the typical like human in the loop capabilities, where the customer, the business user has some configuration or control over the end user experience if we're in kind of a user-facing chatbot. And that's generally our approach, which is language models unlock a ton of capabilities and really great user experiences that weren't possible before. Doesn't mean you have to use them for every single part of a user journey. And I think when you take that sort of blanket approach, you miss a lot of the value that traditional product design brings to the table. That can be as simple as guiding the user towards a specific outcome or goal in a conversation, rather than just sitting back and seeing what the user sends into your bot. And that proactive versus reactive approach, I think, is one of the things that over the last 12 months, really on the back of ChatGPT, was probably the first misstep that most chatbot deployments took, which is like, oh, I'm going to build my ChatGPT. It's going to be an empty text box. I'm going to throw it up on a website and see what people ask me. And we've seen that to be a bit of a misnomer. Consumers either don't know what they want, or they're going to assume that you're a ChatGPT equivalent. If you're a retailer, a brand, a publisher, you shouldn't be leading consumers to think you have a ChatGPT mainstream mass market chatbot experience, because in most cases, you're probably restricting that conversation to your unique data. And hopefully, you're tying it to some business outcome. So to wrap that thought up, the capabilities to enable the language models where necessary are obviously where the world is going. We have to layer in some amount of thoughtful product design where there's steerability and there's intention behind the conversations that you're delivering to users.
You made an interesting comment, and you posed this potentially as a limitation, which is the chatbot is only as good as the underlying data set that it's able to mine. And I'm not going to take that a step further and say, well, does there need to be diversity? In other words, do you need to be mining another data set, let's say other websites? And we're not going to get to like an e-surance comparison. That's not what we're talking about here. But I think one of the things I've run into is that ultimately you have to conquer this challenge with the data set itself. In other words, how do you mine the right data in the right way so that that presentation layer, if you will, for the sake of the LLM, is getting information that it needs? And then on top of that, how are you making sure you're not getting sort of a bad response or bad data in that chat conversation? These seem to be things that are limiting people to adopt and or build their own solutions.
We definitely see that firsthand from customers we talk to, partners in the space. We had to solve a lot of those challenges ourselves with our platform. So just to give some context, Direct is a platform that publishers, media companies, content creators use to build their branded version of ChatGPT. And to my previous point, what we power is not a wrapper on a language model provider that just allows users to ask about anything you're curious. And so if I were to go to a content publisher, a news company, for example, the chatbot that's powered by Direct, it's not going to let you write a poem. And it's not meant to do research on anything that was ever written on the web. And by design, we restrict the conversation to just the data of the publisher. So their stories, their articles, their content, which have already been vetted, edited, published with real humans. That is what creates, one, a unique capability, but it also really serves as a good grounding mechanism because the chatbot is intentionally not trying to answer every question under the sun. It is willing to say, hey, you've got the wrong idea here. That's not what I do, but here are some things that I can help you with. And in the simplest sense, like jack of all trades, master of none, if you're trying to build a jack of all trades chatbot to compete with the sort of mainstream mass market Bards and Claudes and ChatGPT, I think that's a losing battle. If you're trying to create a chatbot that's really unique to your business or your company and leverages, again, your unique voice, data, content, perspectives, that's where we think there's room to play. And if you take that approach and you're willing to make the trade-off of not trying to be the new search engine, we think there's a lot of opportunities and value that you can actually deliver to the end user, but you have to be willing to say no sometimes. So if a user comes to you and, again, wants you to write their homework for them, you say, that's not what we do here. We're Walgreens, right? You don't come to Walgreens to do your homework. We're not a tutoring service. If you were Chegg, maybe that would be a use case that you want to make sure you enable in your chatbot.
A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Time for a one-minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on two channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview.
Your business model points to a part of the world where the data is probably the best organized. So publishers, think about it. This is their business model. So that really is sort of allows you to avoid the tougher question, and I'm not saying that you're ducking the question, but maybe the tougher problem, which is so many organizations out there that really have bad data layers. And by bad, that doesn't mean that it sounds like a judgment, but just they haven't understand the commercial value of that data. Therefore, it's allowed to linger and it's allowed to have bad structure. And then when they try and layer on, because really what we're talking about is, should you build your own? So the second that folks try and do this, they go, I got a data problem. So what I'm hearing from you is that the publishers are on this stuff. So if it's going to be the spot it's going to take off, it's going to be with publishers initially.
Well, we certainly believe that, right? We're building an entire company around that thesis. And to be fair, I certainly wouldn't claim to have a firsthand perspective on the data structures of other verticals. And maybe they really are challenged in a way that I don't fully appreciate. I think nevertheless, the first principles are there, right? Like if you have data, you should make it available and you should take advantage of it in the right ways. And that should be something that grounds your chat experience. And maybe that's much harder outside of publishing. We do think publishers are uniquely equipped. We think it's been sort of well documented over the last year, the value of trustworthy content that comes from the source that you know, and that you also know is not polluted with other sources. And so that's its own challenge with, I think, a lot of the mainstream chatbots today. And that's getting better. And there's a lot of sort of competing ideas that I think hold validity. But yeah, we think publishers have a lot to gain in the space. And we think that consumers are re-recognizing the value of having a human that published the content. I don't know about you. I'm the biggest fan and supporter of all the amazing innovations that are happening within conversational AI and the unbelievable companies building these foundational models and the chatbots they're building on top of them. Again, Claude, Bard, ChatGPT, incredible products. I use them daily. I find myself fact-checking them quite a bit. And maybe in your own experience, you've done the same where you've gone, cool, this helps me get a first level of understanding or detail. The ones delivering citations certainly makes it a little bit easier. But oftentimes, I'm going to go do my own research, which might be streamlined, but a little bit to make sure that what I'm looking at is trustworthy before I go take it back and apply it in my life in whatever sense. And normally what's happening is I'm going to find some publisher of content whose brand and opinion and reputation I trust to go validate the perspectives that I got. And we think because there is that resonant value, publishers are in a really good spot if they can meet consumers with this sort of conversational experience that they're being trained to enjoy more, definitely around information retrieval and learning and understanding, and now increasingly around entertainment and engagement and sort of solving for passive boredom. And if you can do that across those two spectrums, we think publishers could have a really, really positive outcome here. But it's a complex issue. If you're following the news, you'll see one company is suing a language model provider, the next one signing a licensing deal. So there's a lot to watch over the next couple of years to see how it plays out.
It's a bit of the Wild West right now, but that's the most exciting time. Let's sort of talk about how this model would work. And we're talking about publishers, so I'm not going to ask you to step outside of that zone for a moment. So from the moment I deploy my ChatGPT chat model, and again, I understand that publishers don't have pristine data. It's just much probably better organized. The hierarchies are stronger, the associations are stronger, et cetera, et cetera. And you're sort of getting to this idea of ghost data or bad data through that process. So what does it look like to sort of iterate to the point that the publisher feels comfortable that the chatbot represents their brand and their content well?
So one of the things that at Direct we've worked really hard to do is streamline the upfront build. So Direct's value proposition is threefold. One, build a chatbot. Two, grow your chatbot. Three, monetize your chatbot. So a lot of people have thought about internally, how do I scrape something together, make a few API calls? Steps two and three are actually quite complex, right? How do I distribute a chatbot, make it easy for consumers to find and engage with? How do I monetize that, make this a profitable endeavor? So we've really streamlined the build process. You can create an account on Direct and have your own conversational AI experience, your own chatbot, in a matter of minutes, rather than 6 to 12 months of development internally if you were to try to build it on top of APIs yourself. That's a huge value proposition in and of itself. But one of the things that enables, if you're an enterprise and you've got a product roadmap and you need to get a deployment out the window, you save yourselves those 6 months. Now you can actually go into testing that in a sandbox or demo environment, getting feedback in, and then we can train the chatbot specific to our marquee premium publishers, their needs and desires. So that process can be collaborative. That could look like editors going and actually asking the chatbot only specifically about questions that they wrote so they can make sure that their tone of voice and perspective are captured accurately. And we can take that feedback in and use it to fine-tune the chatbot as needed. Now, from there, to distribute the chatbot, again, we try to streamline all the complexities. One of the things that isn't typically obvious to most people we work with in this space is that users have been having conversations forever. Conversations are the way we all communicate digitally. Text messaging is the biggest app on the planet. There's 5.3 billion users of messaging. So there's about 3 billion users on Meta. So it's the single biggest communication channel in the world. And about 10% of time on mobile is already spent inside of dedicated text messaging apps. And then within social media, messaging is the dominant behavior. So Adam Mosseri, the head of Instagram, has said on the record that teenagers spend more time in DMs on Instagram than they do in the newsfeed itself. So there's this huge activity of conversations already happening between people. And they're actually normally sharing content with one another. It's how most conversations happen, certainly in the group chat environment. So when we talk with our publishers, we also show them like, hey, there's an opportunity not just to put this chatbot on your website to increase your engagement with readers and give them a better experience. You can actually tap into those 5.3 billion people that weren't reachable before because you didn't have the experience, the medium that was endemic to that channel, which is messaging or conversations. Now, to do that's kind of hard. If you're familiar with the mobile app development world, you'll know that you build an app for iOS, you build an app for Android, one for the App Store, one for the Play Store, basically duplicate work. In messaging and conversations, there's over a dozen different channels to support. There's iMessage, there's Google Messages, the equivalent of iMessage, which is actually three times as big because Android is bigger than iOS. There's WhatsApp, there's Telegram, there's Viber, there's Instagram DMs, there's Facebook Messenger. There's almost 15 that really matter with over 100 million active users. And so we streamline all those integrations. And so instead of writing a bunch of bespoke code to make those supported, every publisher that builds on Direct, click a few buttons, have their chatbot anywhere users want to have conversations. And then the third is monetization. And that is, again, an out-of-the-box solution where we will monetize the chatbot to drive publisher outcomes. And that could be inserting a relevant advertisement based on what the user is asking for, as well as other different commercial outcomes that we're working on this year, whether that be around paid subscriptions or driving tickets to an event.
So I want to pick up on the theme. I think you really nailed it here, which is the universe of communication as we know it is very much happening sort of out of sight, out of mind for a lot of the, obviously for the walled garden of the platforms. It's fantastic. We're seeing all that. So it's the thing that people are used to. So how do we translate that? And that's a huge value, great value prop. You're going to talk about tapping into 5.3 billion people, if you will, in terms of how they like to communicate. So what I want to do is I want to set us up for tomorrow a bit, because I think what we're talking about is how the superstructure is changing with regard to how people think about getting information now and how we're in this place where it's becoming more and more abstract, if you will. So I have learned a ton here today. I appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to Nick Martin from Direct for joining us. In part two of this interview, which we'll publish tomorrow, Nick and I are going to be talking about chat engine optimization and how that's becoming the new SEO for advertising. If you can't wait until our next episode and like to learn more about Nick, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can also contact him on Twitter, where his handle is @NickTweeting, or visit his company website at direct.ai.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to our guest host, Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders. If you'd like to get in touch with Doug, you could find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter, where his handle is MarketAdvocate, or you could just visit his website, which is chiefoutsiders.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even apply to be the next guest speaker on the MarTech Podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MarTechPod, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or you can contact me directly on LinkedIn. My handle is Ben J. Schapp, BenJSHAP. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.